We're in Proverbs chapter 14, going to start with verse 4 in a moment. I remind you again, it's a good idea to have a little notepad or some piece of paper where you can jot down the references for any of these Proverbs that strike your fancy, something that the Holy Spirit might encourage you to memorize for your own benefit, or perhaps to pass on to somebody else for their benefit. Because these Proverbs are intended to help people learn how to think from a God perspective, from God's moral standards. And it's a reprogramming effort that we're looking at here. So Proverbs 14:4 says this, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come through the strength of the ox." So this is the trade-off idea. If you want nothing but a clean barn, then don't put any animals in it. But if you actually want to get the benefit of the animals, you're going to have to clean up the barn from time to time. That's just the way it works. Life is messy, as they say, and it's intended to be lived, and we have to put some effort into getting through it. That's just the way it works, folks. Verse number 5, "A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies." You know, Satan was the original liar. He's the father of all lies, and so unrighteous people have no problem just lying. It becomes almost second nature to them. Righteous people don't do that. They shouldn't do that. It should be abhorrent to them. Verse number 6. "A scoffer seeks wisdom in vain, but knowledge is easy for a man of understanding." So scoffers are those that already have a bad attitude toward truth. And so when they say they're after wisdom, even if they hear it, they don't like it. So it doesn't really do them any good to look for it. But people who are already committed to God's word, committed to God's wisdom, then it's an easy thing for them to just do a little bit more gathering of that. I mean, if you like to read one Bible book, then chances are you'll be wanting to read another Bible book and another one after that, just because you develop this taste for God's word. Verse 7, "Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge." This is a variation on the idea of companionship. You become more and more like the people you spend time with. And so it's not a good idea to stick around with foolish people. Remember, foolish people here has nothing to do with intelligence. It has everything to do with moral aptitude and application. Fools reject authority. Fools reject God's authority. And so you don't want to be in the presence of somebody like that. You're not going to find God's word around people not committed to it. Verse 8, "The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving." So wise people tend to be more thoughtful in trying to even gain more wisdom. And when we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about God's wisdom here. But foolish people, those that reject the authority of God, then that attitude just becomes self-deceptive. Think about the New Testament book of 1 John. If somebody says, "I've not sinned," or "I'm not sinning," they're deceiving themselves, or they're lying, or maybe it's kind of a combination of the two, because everyone has sinned. Verse number 9, "Fools mock at the guilt offering, but the upright enjoys acceptance." Now, back at this time, when you committed a sin and you became aware of it, you showed your sorrow, your repentance, by offering a sacrifice out of your animals. And apparently foolish people mocked at the idea of wasting property on something like that, just so you'll feel better. But upright people, righteous people understood, I've violated relationship with God, and I need to do something in order to repair that relationship. It is important to me to be accepted back by God. So righteous people are very often mocked by unrighteous people for the very same reason. They don't value a relationship with God, so they don't think you should value it either. Verse 10, the heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. Kind of an observation proverb. Everybody understands what's bothering them. Others may not fully comprehend it. Verse 11, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Nice little parallel there, where the house of the wicked is more of a permanent structure and ends up messed up because of the foolishness of the wicked person. The tent of an upright person, temporary, but stronger because of God being involved in the equation. Verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I think an awful lot of people have probably memorized this proverb. Just because something seems right doesn't necessarily make it right. Sometimes those sorts of pursuits will bring disaster. So you've got to delve down deeper in the choices you make. You've got to use God's word to make good choices and not just fly by the seat of your pants, as we say. Verse 13, even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. We all know people that are big jokesters, but when you get to know them, you find out that their laughter is covering up hurts, covering up sorrow and great sadness. Well, that's what's being observed here, and that sometimes those people go away and cry and even, in some cases, commit suicide because of the great sorrow that's actually in their hearts. Now, what can we do to help with that? If we sense that there's something behind the jokester that is not good, maybe we can help them with that, with Jesus. So let's pray about it and do what we can. Verse 14, the backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. Now, the heart here in Hebrew is always representative of choices. So a backslider in heart is somebody who's making bad choices, and they will pay for that. It will come back to haunt them, possibly with the judgment of God. Just like righteous people, good people, when they make good choices, they're going to feel the impact of that at a future date, when they are rewarded with an eternal relationship with God. Verse 15, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thoughts to his steps. Oh my, how much I love this proverb at the current time. You can't believe everything that you read, everything that you're told. You've got to do some checking on things. I am very frustrated by so many of the memes that I see floating around on my fellow believers' web pages. where they just saw something posted by somebody else and immediately put it up without checking to see if it was even accurate. And I try often to privately message a person when they put that out, or post some sort of fact check website to let them know that they've been duped. And that sometimes doesn't go over very well, because we now live in a society where fact checking is somehow bad. And I have to express to you my reaction to that as a minister. We are taught in Scripture to test all things, people. So let's follow Scripture and check the things out. We hold on to what is good, and we refuse to have anything to do with the evil. So don't be simple. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thoughts to his steps. Okay? Sermon is over. Verse 16. One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. Same sermon, okay? You've got to be thoughtful in how you approach the things that are directed your way in life. And stick with the good stuff and reject the bad stuff. Have nothing to do with it. Verse 17, a man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. It's never a good choice to just blow up over things. You've got to think about it before you act. Otherwise, you're acting like a fool. You're acting like somebody that does not live by God's standards. And these people who have evil intentions, they are rejected by God. The word here is used as hated. They are not part of God's commitment plan. You don't want to have anything to do with people of that mindset, other than trying to convince them to leave it. Verse 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Simple here is a direct contrast to the prudent. Prudent are people who think before they act. And so prudent people have good outcomes, while simple people, people who don't check out facts, they inherit folly. They lose connection with God's moral base. Verse number 19. The evil bow down before the good, the wicked at the gates of the righteous. This is an ultimate outcome. When Jesus Christ rules and reigns, and his saints are ruling and reigning with him, they will be the victors. And the wicked people will be, I guess we'll have to use the word, losers in that context. And that's all this proverb is looking toward, is the ultimate sorting out between the righteous and the wicked. Verse 20, the poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Now again, this is one of those observation proverbs, and it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Poor people, because they don't have any resources, don't have lots and lots of friends necessarily. But rich people, oh, they have a lot of friends. A lot of people trying to get something out of them. Sometimes people will complain that they didn't realize they had so many friends and relatives until they inherited a bunch of money. And then they were coming out of the woodwork. That's kind of what this proverb is about. Verse 21, whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. So keep in mind again, love is about commitment. Hatred is about non-commitment. So if you don't have a loving attitude toward your neighbor, that's a problem. If you're not thinking about them and looking out for them, that's a problem. The blessings of God are upon those who follow the golden rule, that we need to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's an Old Testament, New Testament, ever Testament concept. Verse 22. Do they not go astray who devise evil? Those who devise good meet steadfast love and faithfulness. So the ultimate outcome of good behavior are good things. And the ultimate outcome of bad behavior is bad things. And we definitely want to choose the good. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. This is one of our laziness proverbs, I suppose. We need to actually work and not just simply yap. We've got to be more than just words. Thinking about the New Testament, we need to be doers of the word and not merely hearers of it. We've got to take action, or there is no impact. Verse 24, the crown of the wise is their wealth, but the folly of fools brings folly. Now, wise people here who apply themselves, who work hard, will tend to accumulate good things. That's the rule of thumb that Solomon's looking at. But lazy, wicked people tend to only bring bad situations into their lives. So the choice is, be wise in God's way. Verse 25, a truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lives is deceitful. It is important, especially in courts of law, to tell the truth, because that will bring about God's work. In Romans chapter 13, when Paul is talking about the purpose of government, the ultimate ideal is that government is supposed to represent God. Punish the wrongdoers, reward the right doers. And so here is a reminder that in the courts of law, telling the truth is supposed to bring about good from God's standard. Verse 26. In the fear of he who is, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. So fear of the Lord, that's having a right relationship with God. Remember, it's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. That should bring confidence into good people's lives. And that should have a good impact upon everyone inside their family. Verse 27, the fear of he who is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from snares of death. So having respect for God brings life and avoids death. And we're not just simply talking about physicality here. We're talking about eternal life or eternal death. It's all dependent on your relationship with God. Verse 28, in a multitude of people is the glory of a king, but without people, a prince is ruined. Again, kind of one of those observations that a king has his glory in his people. All the people that love him and follow him and work for him and work for his glory. But if you've got somebody that's like an inherited prince, but they don't have anybody that wants to follow them, they don't really have a kingdom, well, that's not really going to be useful to him, is it? Verse 29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. And I honestly think that James, the half-brother Jesus, may have had this and other passages in mind when he penned in his book, my brethren, be slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to become angry. That's a proper attitude, a thoughtful attitude toward life. So we've got to keep control of ourselves, is what the book of Proverbs is telling us. Verse 30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. So attitudes have an impact upon our physical forms. So being at peace makes our lives better physically. We don't have all of the anxiety issues. But letting envy or greed get hold of us is going to cause us physical ailments, as well as all sorts of eternal troubles. So you want to be healthy? Then get a God attitude toward the things that are going on around you. Verse 31, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. So all people have been made in the image and the likeness of God. That's a precept from Scripture. So when we treat people badly, we are actually insulting God who made them. And when we treat poor people badly, people who can't look out for themselves, they don't have the resources to protect themselves, we are actually being even more rude. And God will take an account of that. Verse 32. The wicked is overthrown through his evil doing, but the righteous finds refuge in his death. So wicked people are going to come to a bad end, more than likely, in this life, and then they have to face judgment. Righteous people, regardless of what happens to them, by living a righteous life here, are guaranteed that when they die, they will be in the presence of the Lord, where they will be perfectly safe forever. So it's always the best choice to be righteous. Verse 33, wisdom rests in the heart of a man of understanding, but it makes itself known even in the midst of fools. So righteous people have wisdom down in their hearts, and that wisdom residing in them will even from time to time be used in the presence of fools. When wicked people are saying wicked things, righteous people then verbalize what needs to be said in the midst of all that. We are the light shining in the darkness. And we've got to make sure that that light shines brightly for the Lord. His wisdom needs to overpower the darkness of foolishness. Verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I've heard this quoted very often. It's kind of in my memory bank as well. The righteousness here is the righteousness of God. And the Israelis would have thought about this in the idea that the Israelis needed to represent God to the world. But if sin becomes part of the mindset of that people, it's going to bring trouble. The Israelis came under the judgment of God many times because they quit being righteous. And so far as I know, every nation that has ever declared themselves to be followers of the true and living God, and who have insisted that the Bible needed to be used as a foundation for its government, have sooner or later rejected that and engaged in sinful behavior, and then soon thereafter came under the judgment of God. And I think, I'm going to express my opinion here, folks, I think our United States is well into that latter stage, where sin has become a reproach to our people, and we are facing the judgment of God. Verse 35, a servant who deals wisely has the king's favor, but his wrath falls on one who acts shamefully. So wise servants work on behalf of their employers. And in this case, Solomon is thinking about the king being the employer. And that's a good thing. But employees that don't work well or hard, then they come under judgment. So it's just the fair warning, I think, here. Chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This is about escalation. When we find ourselves in some sort of friction with somebody else, if we will just keep our calm and try to come up with a solution to the problem, we will perhaps keep things from blowing out of control. But if we do tit for tat, if we answer in kind to people who have been mean to us, we're just going to escalate the argument, and it could get out of control very fast. So keep calm and do what God would want you to do in every circumstance. Let's finish, I think, today with number 2 of chapter 15. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. So wise people say wise things, and we're talking about from God's standard here, while foolish people say foolish things. They say things that are out of step with Scripture. And so the encouragement from this proverb is, be wise and say wise things.